Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that everything is driven by conspiracy these days. If you are reading something about QAnon, and if you haven't read something about QAnon, then I suppose I'm talking rubbish to you, but they're an organisation that are net-driven, and they are very focused on driving conspiracies via the internet. And whatever you think about Christmas, this was definitely a truly unique experience for two teenagers called Joseph and Mary. Mary was probably coming up to 16 when Jesus was born. Joseph was probably a year or two older. We aren't definite on this, but we do know a certain amount about when people got married in those days. And the fact is, they were young people in a society which was driven by a conspiracy idea even then. And the idea was that God was about to send his Messiah. We know historically that from certainly 30 odd years before Jesus was born until the time Jesus was born, there was a rumour going around. In fact, it carried on until Jesus came to the cross. There was a rumour going around that God was sending the son of David to lead Israel away from Roman occupation. And I sort of guess that really conspiracies are an idea that we all face these days. And I'm hoping now this is going to work. You know, I read once a book that suggested that the birth of Jesus came about through an alien visitation. And when I put this book down, I thought I must have been mad to even bother reading it. Because it was one of those crazy conspiracy theories. Because the trouble is, people will believe anything in preference to the truth. And there's a certain element of this. You see it with vaccinations at the moment, yeah. Particularly in America, but sadly also here to some degree, that people just believe that Bill Gates wants to put a chip inside us, and that it's being done by a vaccination. And you know, it's crazy, but it's a reality in people's minds. But the truth is out there, and the truth is a person, and that person is Jesus. And Jesus said, when he was older, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And if that is the truth, and Jesus claimed that it was, then we need to have an encounter with the baby of Bethlehem. Somebody once said, there's this virgin conceiving. The only way that could happen is with an alien intervention. They come along, they beam you up, and they probe you, and then they put you down again. But the truth is much more bizarre than that. The truth is that God sent his son, born of a virgin. And that is the amazing truth of Christmas, that God came to live amongst us. The only conspiracy here is that God, who is very preciously attached to the concept of free will, God has free will, and he made us in his image, so we have free will. And God has always been precious about not forcing himself on people. And you'll notice in the reading we had about the angel Gabriel visiting Mary, that even Mary had a choice. And Mary, the passage we had read to us finishes with, "And Mary said, 'Let it be to me according to your word.'" And that is when the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus within her, is when she said yes to God. It wasn't a question of saying yes to the dress. And if you don't know the TV show that I'm talking about, then that's irrelevant to you. It was about saying yes to God. And actually, that's what Christmas is about too. It's about saying yes to God. Keeping on the theme that we have, our word X, sorry, our letter X in our alphabet is similar to the Greek chai. And it's the letter you see above the crib there. Now, some people say it's appalling that we can't talk about Christmas as freely as we used to do. Well, let me say, no one's stopping me. And actually, if you talk about Christmas, no one will stop you. But society likes to talk about winter festivals and stuff like that. But in the Bible days, and of course people say these days, people won't even wish you a happy Christmas. They'll wish you a happy Xmas. But don't get too perturbed about that. Because in the early church, when it was like an invitation to be executed was being baptized. I mean, it was a huge pressure on the early church, and yet it was growing at a phenomenal rate. They had a way of letting each other know when they didn't, when they were meeting another Christian. One of them would draw in the plaster of the wall or on the floor a curly straight bit, like the left-hand side of the chai, and the other one would draw a line through it. And so what they were doing was making an X, and in doing so they were revealing to each other, hey guys, I'm a Christian and you're a Christian, you're a Christian, that's great. We're following the chai, the Christ, because in Greek the word Christ starts with the Greek letter chai. And so our X-Files, if you like, are that the early church and the church onwards has always had to stand up to persecution. You know, we have it very easy in modern Britain, and we can complain a bit, but, you know, that's only because we're gifted at being able to complain. The reality is that our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan are facing cruel and wicked death at the hands of the Taliban. It's all over the world, in parts of China, in most of the Muslim countries. It is an executionable offence to be a Christian. And all they can do is make the sign of a chai. And you know, that is what we can do this Christmas. If someone says Merry Xmas to you, why not say to them what X means? You know, people say X marks the spot. Well, X is the Greek letter chai, and it's a way of Christians sharing their faith. So don't be put off by that. Use it as an opportunity. In fact, that's what we should do with most of these problems, is we should make them into opportunities. When people give you an X, you give them a chai back. And so, for my third slide, I give you Robbie Williams hanging over the nativity scene in Bethlehem. In each of our readings, the angels were part of the Christmas story. Angelic beings, supernatural beings. We're not talking of chubby little boys with curly hair playing harps. We're talking about angelic supernatural beings dressed for war. We're talking about angels who were terrifying. Joseph sees one in a dream and he challenges him to marry Mary rather than just divorce her. They were already betrothed, which in those days was as good as marriage, but the marriage took place on the day you were received into your husband's home and left your father's home. And that hadn't happened for Mary. And Joseph clearly loved Mary because he was prepared to do something quietly when he perceived, like the rest of us perceived, that in fact she had been with another man. But the angel told Joseph, "Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to marry Mary, because what has happened to her is from God." Mary has an encounter with the angel, not in a dream, but in daylight. In broad daylight, the angel of God appears to her and offers her the opportunity to be the mother of the Son of God. And she takes that opportunity, as I've just said. In the third reading, angelic beings, a multitude of them, fill the skies saying, "Good news!" And, you know, I often wonder what the shepherds must have thought when this terrifying crowd of supernatural beings manifest in the skies over Bethlehem's hills and say, "Good news, fear not." It's like saying dropping a series of aircraft flying over York, dropping bombs and shouting out with megaphones, "Fear not." You know, it's a terrifying thing. It's an absolutely terrifying thing. But their message was fear not, because they had good news. And of course, this is all about God's good news. It's all, Christmas is about God's good news that he came to live alongside us. And he came to die and bear the punishment for our sins, that so that we could have a relationship with God. And that's what God's always been about. It's what he's about today, it's what he was about then, and it's what he wants Christmas to be about for us this year. Joseph visited by an angel, Mary visited by an angel, shepherds visited by a plethora of angels. This Christmas, I wonder if we could have a supernatural encounter with God. You might get a visit by an angel. But you know, I think you could get a visit by the Spirit of God. I think we could all get a visit by the Spirit of God this Christmas. If we invite him, just as Mary says, "Let's go for it, Gabriel, I'm up for that, mate." We too can say that to God, and we can say, "God, we want you in our lives." My last slide. We live in a very different day. That's traffic noise outside this building. And you know, the reality is there's, we live in a society which is very noisy. I didn't realize how long this clip was, I do apologize. We do live in a very noisy society. I've tried walking to work with my headphones in. I do love music, I love audiobooks, I love listening to the radio, but the reality is that when I do that, I don't notice people. In fact, I'm not sure that I notice anything. And so I don't wear them anymore. I just walk to work, I look up at people and I say hello to them as I pass them. Some people choose to ignore me. Other people are very happy that someone has said hello to them. But you know, in our world, which is very occupied by noise, so many people that come towards me are chattering away, and you might look at them in, you know, 20 years ago, you might have said there's something up with them. They're walking down the street talking to themselves. But now, of course, we know we have little microphones in the ends of our earbuds, and it's wirelessly connected to our phones, and we can be talking to someone the other side of the earth. And that's the reality of life. Our world is full of noise. And this Christmas, I would just suggest to you, here where we are, in glorious York, it would be great if we could set aside some time to be quiet and listen to God. Jesus is described as the Word of God. And John puts it this way. He says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. God is spirit. For God to become flesh and blood was miraculous. But that's exactly what Jesus became. When Jesus died and rose again, he still had a body. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he still has a body. God has marked himself forever with our names tattooed in his hands and his feet, tattooed by a nail print. And he has done that and keeps the body because he wants us to know that he's very attached to his human creation. He wants us to know that he knows what it's like to be human. He knows what suffering is like. He knows everything we experience as humans. And yet he's done all that without sinning, the Bible says. This year, this Christmas, it would be good if we could all reach out to the God who's waiting for us to call his name. And if we could embrace the Jesus who still has a body, who still knows what it's like to be human, the God who has transformed into humanity so that he could know what death was like, so he could pay a sacrificial death for our life. These are great mysteries. These are powerful images. But this is what Christmas is about. Maybe if I could encourage you right now, if we could reach out to this Jesus, this Christmas, and then Christmas will be more than turkey and presents and all the gubbins that goes with this winter festival that we love and celebrate. It could be more about knowing the Jesus who became a baby, the Jesus who became a man, the Jesus who died, the Jesus who rose from the dead, the Jesus who ascended to the right hand of the Father, the Jesus who is still Jesus, still alive. Maybe that's what we could have this Christmas. I think that would be good. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to this planet at Christmas. We thank you that you didn't need any alien beings other than the angelic host. You didn't need any great conspiracy to make up a story. But we thank you that you joined us and you have remained connected to us. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to say tonight, we want to be in relationship with you. We want to know you in the way you know us. And we want that to be what Christmas is about for us this year. In Jesus' name, amen.